Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today New Year's Day podcast on the 1st of January 2026. Happy New Year. I'm Andy Eubank, and a Happy New Year to all of you from all of us at HAT. Our podcast today brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them at ffbt.com to learn more. CJ Miller and Greg Allen have news today, including whether you can still use your Chinese manufactured drone on the farm, and could farmers really get clearer guidance from EPA on what qualifies as a regulated waterway under WOTUS. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, improving weather as we start 26. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat sold off to put a cap on 2025. Tom Fritz Market Insights coming up on the HAT Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
It takes focus, dedication, and vision to run a successful farming operation. Those are the same qualities that we at Hoosier Ag Today have in our work of bringing you the information you need every day. With the largest farm broadcast team in the state, we have the resources to cover Indiana agriculture. That's why we are the most listened to and most trusted ag media source in the Hoosier State. We are Hoosier Ag Today, heard daily on this station.
An FCC ban on drones and weighing in on the new WOTUS Waters rule. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. A ban on all new foreign-made drones and components, namely from China, has been put into place recently by the FCC due to concerns over our national security. CJ Miller reports how that could impact the ag industry.
When they say Chinese and foreign drones, they're really talking about DJI because they've got 80-90% of the drone market. And I know in my fleet, the drones I use, I'm a 100% DJI user.
And that's Chad Colby with Colby Ag Tech. He says the impact of farming won't be felt immediately, but it will be felt a couple of years from now.
The challenge is going to really be when you start getting out there in 28, 29, and 30. Because you can still buy the drones that are okay to use in the U.S. The problem is going to be the new drones, not the ones we already have today, not the ones that are already on the market, the next generation and the generation after that. I don't think in 26 you're going to see any kind of change in aerial application or even high resolution imagery. That stuff's pretty much going to be the same. But in the future, you certainly will feel the effects, I believe.
He says he's concerned that by handcuffing that new technology, it may also indirectly handcuff many of the new advances that are being used by drones in farming.
There's a lot of your listeners right now that utilize drones in a different capacity than they did maybe 5 or 10 years ago. You were using them for basic scouting tools. Well, now we're doing application and we're doing serious application. I know several companies that use drones that spray hundreds of thousands of acres. We're talking about fleets of drones. And they're doing it because there's an advantage to using that technology.
Colby adds that an exception should be considered for those new drones if they're being used for agriculture.
I mean, don't kid yourself. We need to have a safe country and we need to have safe airspace. And that's something most people don't know about. But on the same place, if you got a 300-acre field in North Dakota that you want to fly fertilizer to or whatever it is with a sprayer drone, I think you should be able to do that. How is that any different than an airplane? It's just because drones, whether we like to admit it or not, are still in their infancy. What that space looks like 10 years from now will be nothing like it is today.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
The Environmental Protection Agency has proposed a new Waters of the U.S. rule aimed at giving farmers and ranchers clearer guidance on what qualifies as a regulated waterway.
I think farmers need to express that this is a positive rule, moving in the right direction, and express their support for the rule.
That's Courtney Briggs, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Briggs says the updated definition could help landowners better understand when federal permits are required and when normal farming practices can continue
without added regulation.
It's important that the EPA and the Army Corps hear the voice of agriculture. They can go to regulations.gov and search for WOTUS and provide their comments there, or on our website at fb.org, searching WOTUS, and you can go to our advocacy page, and we have set it up for our members to engage.
The American Farm Bureau Federation urges farmers and ranchers to weigh in before the public comment period closes. The organization says producer input is critical to ensure the rule provides clarity, consistency, and protects both water quality and agricultural operations.
Folks have until January 5th to provide comments, and then the rest of the regulatory process needs to play out. EPA and the Corps need to review all of the comments and provide responses, and then there needs to be another round of interagency review.
For more information, go to fb.org/WOTUS. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2026. It is here. And it's going to be improving a little bit on the weather side. The Clipper system that decided to race through last night and early this morning to make things interesting isn't pushing away off to the east and south relatively quickly. I think clouds break up and allow a little bit of sunshine in here off and on through the balance of your New Year's Day. Now, it's not going to be bright, sunny everywhere, but I really don't think we have too shabby of a day overall, as long as you bundle up. We stay chilly, but honestly, it's January 1st, and I would put it probably at a seasonal level of temperatures overall here. Normally, we're cold in January, right? I think we stay in this the same zone on temperatures from today right on through the weekend. Maybe a little bit warmer Saturday, Sunday, but still on the cool side through the weekend. Where it really gets interesting is next week. We have a system coming out of the Canadian prairies Sunday night into early Monday morning, bringing some moisture to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Ontario, Canada, northern tier counties of Lower Michigan. Not putting anything down this way except for some cloud cover, but this is a warm frontal boundary that triggers this system, and so I think we are significantly warmer, mild, through a Monday, Tuesday of next week, maybe taking a brief pause Wednesday, but back to the well above normal temperatures for Thursday, Friday, and even into early Saturday. No well-organized precipitation at all in that segment of milder air. Pretty decent time to be out and about, honestly. Big frontal boundary starts to come together for Saturday the 10th into Sunday the 11th. Right now, I'm projecting a quarter to 1 inch of rain potential with 100% coverage across the Hoosier State. And this front does open the door to significantly colder air to come racing in Sunday midday and afternoon. And we are chilly then for, I believe, a good chunk of the following week. Now, that following week may have some rain and snow potential for Monday the 12th, but then Tuesday the 13th on forward, we're seeing the bigger threat of precipitation set up a little bit farther south, and we have a big warm air versus cold air battle brewing over the eastern Corn Belt through a large part of that week. That's what is also going to bump up precipitation potential. It's also the week of the Fort Wayne Farm Show, so the weather always gets interesting in and around there. Once again, right now, I'm focusing most of that precipitation energy from the 13th, 14th, and 15th down a little farther south. Think Ohio River down into the Tennessee Valley. That's where we're looking right now. Plenty of time, though, for that to kind of either move farther north or get pushed farther south by cold air pushing in. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The year is over. 2025 is out, 26 is upon us, and the markets ended 25 with another sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have the final numbers momentarily. We'll begin with thoughts from Tom Fritz, analyst at EFG Group in Chicago. I checked in with him at the end of the session. We have rung out 2025, did it with a sell-off, Tom. And let's begin with the bean market sell-off. That market not looking real good at the moment after double-digit losses to end the year.
No, you're absolutely right. looks absolutely ugly. Even the meal market gave it up. Soybean oil gave it up. And if I didn't know better, we've factored in whatever China's going to buy. In fact, they're probably just over 10 million tons. So another million and a half, 2 million tons really isn't going to make a difference. The weather situation in Brazil is, I can't find a problem with it. You know, earlier in the week, they talked about a little bit of dryness developing in Argentina. Well, the most recent forecast is saying, no, that's not going to happen, at least not any extended dryness. So then couple that with the technical ramifications. When March beans took out last week's low at 57 and I think it was 57 and a half, 57 and a quarter, that acted as a snowball. When soybean oil went through 49 cents in the March contract, that acted as a snowball. And as much as the meal market tried to stand in against that $300 mark, it just, that too gave way. So you've got fundamental factors and you've got technical factors all working against the soybean oil, the soybean complex. So corn tried to stand in. I think corn will continue to stand in at least for another, call it 6.5 business days. And I'm talking about January 12th. I think there's still too many people out there that think we're going to have a substantially lower yield. And that's going to bring production down. And with the great demand that we've had, it's going to create, call it this way, an imbalance of supply versus demand, more demand than supply. So I think the corn market will be able to stand in, even though it's a little bit disconcerting that a week ago, or I should say last Friday, March corn traded to 453, and here's today low at 439, 14 cents below. It seems like the market retreats faster than it goes up. So, you know, that has me a little bit worried. Spreads aren't doing anything to suggest that we have an imbalance. And yet, you know, we continue to throw good numbers at the corn market and didn't respond at all this week. So I do think from a technical standpoint, it'll try to stand in against the 435 level ahead of the 12th. And if it doesn't, it says March corn's going to 4.25. So, but let's try not to get ahead of ourselves. And the wheat market, I think it's mostly about inner market spreading over there. Kansas City wheat developed a big premium over Chicago. And now that's coming down. But problem with the wheat market, it's real simple. There is just too much wheat in the world right now. So when you have all the major exporters vying for market share, well, that's basically, you know, what do you call that? Price war. So, you know, the wheat market's going to struggle. Do I think there's appreciable downside? I don't think so. March wheat, if you recall, the December contract realized support between $5 and $4.95. I think the March contract will try to find support there. So, you know, I've got a bias in the wheat market that it's trying to develop into a sideways market. But you know, that remains to be seen because I think on the next supply-demand report, they're going to show big increases in the world supply, the world carryout. But also on the 12th, the USDA will give us a look at new crop winter wheat acres, or I should say just new crop acres, period. And I do think we're going to see a dramatic reduction in those acres. So, yeah, things aren't looking too spiffy to close out the year. The beginning of the year, don't have a good feeling for Friday. I think a lot of the participants will be gone. But I think come next week, markets will try to show some stability. just in respect of the January crop production update.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review, down a quarter cent on both March and May corn contracts. March ends the year at 440 and a quarter, May 448 and a quarter. July unchanged at 454 and a half, and new lows for the move in soybeans. January on Wednesday, 1030 and a half, down 15 and three quarters. March, 14 and three quarters, down 1047 and a half. March wheat dips to 507, down 3 3/4. February live cattle, 231.60, up $1.12. February lean hogs, 85.10, down 35. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Happy New Year from Indiana's leading farm network.